Good morning, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's the 4th of August, yes it is, 2022. We have a show for you today all about the social-emotional learning. Part of our SELtoday.org work. We're real concerned about this. We see it as a real part of equity, part of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We've got the authors of a new book called The Social Emotional Classroom, A New Way to Nurture Students and Understand the Brain, Neuroscience, if I may. Okay, we've got the Annalisa Mackey, and we've got my old friend. I don't know Annalisa, I will in a minute, but I know Melissa Reagan, who's the Chief Learning Officer over at Navigate 360 and co-author of the book. And we're going to talk to both of them about all their wonderful career and what the book is about and all that sort of thing. So it's going to be really interesting. As you all know, social-emotional learning is a key factor this year, as it should be all the time, okay, in education. But, you know, the pandemic really heightened how important it is. And so this book may be very, very useful to all of you. And I do have it linked how you can buy the book over at Amazon as you're listening here today. So I'll bring Annalisa and Melissa on in just a moment. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And we'll put our new back-to-school issue of our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, our online journal. We'll put that up. I think it's going up either Friday or Monday. Okay, over the next couple of days, and you'll enjoy that when it comes out. Got all kinds of good articles, et cetera, et cetera. You just click on the cover, and you can read the whole magazine. It's pretty popular. We're pretty proud of it, all right? And we have at teacher-retention.com. Everything's linked over at ace-ed.org, and we're concerned about the educator shortage. It's really bad out there. I talked to a district the other day down in Texas. There are 42 teachers short, and school starts next week. So it ain't good, all right? And we appreciate all your hard work. We're concerned about teacher recruitment and the pipeline, but we're also concerned about all of you guys, teacher retention, all right? We don't want great teachers to leave the classroom. So please check out what we're doing over there. Again, it's linked to teacher-retention.com. Everything's over at ace-ed.org. You can connect to seltoday.org, which is what our show is about. That's our resource center, which companies join in, and they have the virtual booths on there, and they add information as need be. And we'll get Melissa to make sure she puts the book up there as well. And also every podcast we do is archived over there. Again, it's all iconed, all linked over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on my two guests. I'll welcome back Melissa first. Hi, Melissa. Larry's here. How you doing?
Hey, how are you today?
I am just fine, as a matter of fact. How you doing? Everything good?
I'm great. Everything's great. Always happy to speak to a fellow Mainer.
Yeah. Down in Cornish. Where are you in Maine? Tell everybody.
Farmington.
Lovely Farmington. There is a university there. Do you teach up there? Are you working at the university?
I do not, but I do some work with some of the teachers there, some of the new teachers.
Good. Excellent. That's great. I want to talk to you about some of the work before we get into the show today. I want to talk to you about the work you did with the United Nations. You may still be doing it, okay, but I'm really interested in that. We'll talk about Navigate 360, but let me introduce Annalisa Mackey, your co-author, to everybody. Hi, Annalisa. I'm Larry Jacobs.
Hi, Larry. It's really nice to meet you.
Thank you, my dear. It's nice to meet you, too. Where are you? Down in Jersey. I see a Jersey area code here. Down in Jersey.
I was in Jersey for about 12 years, and I'm now in Phoenix. So you guys are at 9 o'clock
places.
In the morning?
Yeah, very dissimilar place.
It's
a 9 a.m. show. I mean, what time is it in Phoenix?
Oh, it's a bright and early 6 a.m., Larry.
Wow, it's a three-hour difference. I really appreciate getting up this early and doing the show. Thank you from me and from
the audience.
Okay. It's
no
great.
No problem at all.
Yeah, it's super. And I notice here, we can talk about this. You have your own podcast, or you have a podcast, whatever, called Social Emotional Us. Do you still do that?
Yes. Yes, I do. We talk to teachers all across the country about, you know, various things on regarding social emotional learning. We've talked to a number of other authors about their books on social emotional learning. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it.
Good for you. I hope people tune into that, okay? And we'll find out more about all this as we go on. And Melissa, tell us about Navigate 360, where you are the Chief Learning Officer.
Well, we just launched a brand new K-12 online curriculum for students. It looks amazing. We gamified it and made it super high interest, and it just team, and they just did such a phenomenal job.
You do work with a great team. I know them well. Okay, and this is all good stuff, and that's Navigate360.com. I will stay with Melissa, and I'm going to ask Annalisa the same question. Why is SEL so darn important right now? It's the beginning of the school year. A lot of schools are just going back right now. Probably Arizona may be going back. 2022, it's August. Why SEL right now? Melissa, you're on.
Well, Larry, I think you just did a podcast a couple weeks ago about this. They did a survey of students, and 50% don't feel connected to the classroom.
That's right.
Another says 50% of kids are seriously contemplating suicide. Let's be fair, this was before the pandemic, but it's only exacerbated it, and we have to do something to help these kids and teachers too. We're just talking about the teacher shortage.
Yeah.
It's real, and you know, I think social-emotional learning is not the be-all, end-all, but I think it can help.
Oh, it really can help, and you know, your point is well taken with that. I always say we can't afford to lose even one educator these days. I mean, it's really, the pipeline is tight, okay? And really, teachers are under a lot of pressure right now, too, so we got to look at social-emotional learning in regard to the adult, too. Annalisa, Mackie. Okay, tell me, why SEL right now?
I always think that SEL is sort of the plate on which we teach everything that we do. You know, I think that relationship is the foundation of education and learning. And working with our students, you know, we're teaching them how to be in the world, how to be good citizens. And so social emotional learning is really those foundational skills that help kids be successful, help us all to be successful. So I think social emotional learning is really the plate on which we teach everything. So, I mean, we used to call it the hidden curriculum before, but now I think we realize that it's not hidden. It needs to be out loud and proud. And it's important for, and I think Melissa brought up as well the point that, you know, kids are really struggling right now, I think, and social-emotional learning is something that is a necessary thing for us to do in our classrooms. It's not just the intellectual student, it's the whole child that is important.
And I'm going to stay with you, Annalisa. Most teachers do not have a lot of training in SEL, besides what they may get a cursory quick look, okay? But most of what they learn and most of what an administrator can give them happens afterwards in the form of professional development or new curriculum that's bought or whatever. And so, Annalisa, I'm going to ask you, are colleges that are preparing teachers spending enough time talking about the importance of SEL? And also, I might add, graduate schools preparing administrators. What's your thought on that?
I think the answer to that question is a resounding no. They're not spending enough time on it. There was a major survey across the United States a couple of years back, and this is only a couple of years ago now, surveying all the teacher education programs. And what they found is exactly what you would expect. Very little is done about social-emotional learning. There's a little bit on, you know, sort of teacher wellness, A little bit. There's a little bit on, you know, teaching, dealing with behavior in the classroom, but that's about it. So teachers don't have the experience, and they really don't understand what social-emotional learning is. When we talk about it and we throw these words around, they don't really understand what it is. They think, sometimes they think it's some mindfulness meditation. Sometimes they think that it's, you know, just doing a few little things cobbled together, and that's going to be good enough.
Yeah, it's not yoga on the mat. Let me make that point. It's not yoga on a mat. Okay, it's you know, it's really something. Melissa, your thoughts on that about teacher prep and school-wide prep, so to speak, the way colleges do it. And again, you're at UMaine. You're up near UMaine Farmington. You're not there, but you're up there close. So, what's your thoughts?
Well, Larry, when I went to school to be a teacher, I certainly wasn't versed in how to teach social emotional learning. There were certainly practices that
I was trained to be a teacher back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I'm lucky they taught me anything. Okay, there really wasn't much, you know.
No.
So please continue. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
No management, no social emotional learning, none of that. So I think good teachers are already doing some things in their classroom that are social-emotional learning, right? They're doing things like checking in with students. They're, as Annalisa said, building the relationships that we know are so important. But there's a real need for teachers to understand what social-emotional learning, a comprehensive program, is. As you and Annalisa said, it's not yoga. It's not a mindful minute. It's a whole, it's teaching kids self-regulate. It's teaching kids how to use skills and strategies to resolve conflicts. And these are things that kids need to be taught, and we need to teach teachers how to teach them, or we're doing everyone a disservice.
Yeah, and again, we really believe in this. We work closely with CASEL, that you guys both know, the Consortium on Academic Standards and SEL, and everybody knows CASEL and their standards. All right, but we really got to make this a part of everything, and our SEL today tries to get the resources out there. And you guys wrote the book, the brand new, it's out right now, right? It is out. Am I right, Melissa?
Yep.
It's out? Melissa, it is. Okay.
It is available.
Yeah, great. So, again, it's connected up on my website, Social Emotional Classroom, that's the key word, okay? And this is another thing. The subtitle is A New Way to Nurture Students, that's key, okay? But also, and I love this part, understand the brain. And I'm going to, all right, Melissa, I'm going to ask you this. Understanding the brain, that's kind of neuroscience. And I've been yelling and screaming about this for a year, that teacher training barely touches on how we learn. It barely touches on neuroscience. That's not an integrated part, okay, of someone becoming a teacher, which I think is off the charts nuts that we don't include that monumentally as part of this. We know a lot about how people learn, okay? And part of your subtitle is Understanding the Brain. Talk about that part, Melissa. Understanding the brain. And if, by the way, if you can understand my brain, I'll give you a lot of money. You go ahead.
I'd be rich if I could understand other people.
My wife's been trying a long time. She has yet to succeed. So I'll let you can try. Yeah.
Well, it's actually kind of a funny story because Annalisa and I were working on developing a middle school curriculum. And right about the time we were about midway or close to being finished, Annalisa had read Dr. Lisa Feldman Barrett's work, and she sort of came up with this, she was like, hey, we've got to stop. We've got to rethink this whole thing because there's all this new research out. And I think Annalisa would probably be best to explain it.
Then we will let Annalisa explain it, Ms. Mackey.
Oh, thanks, Melissa. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You notice how she passes the tough questions over to you, Annalisa. I just want you to know that. Yeah, it's okay.
It did seem like I just got past the ball really quickly, didn't it, Larry?
Well, and also, by the way, Melissa couldn't do this. Could you spell chrysanthemum for me, please? No, just kidding. That's a joke. Okay, go ahead. Annalisa, explain the human brain to everybody, please, in 10 sentences.
Well, there's the difference, I think, between the classical view of what we would normally think of as, which is this social emotional learning has really been based on a lot of classical theory of the brain. And the constructed view of the brain is substantially different. And I don't want to get into really the weeds of the whole thing, but I would say there are sort of three main areas that are different. The first part between constructed view and the classical view is really the difference, how they view how the brain works is substantially different. So the classical view would talk about the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex, and how they would say the amygdala is sort of the emotion recognition center of the brain, and when it gets activated, you know, that's how we have these emotions, and then the prefrontal cortex is thinking and problem solving and planning, and you know how these two things are, they kind of work in opposition, because when you get really, really excited about something or really upset about something, you don't think very well. And that's how the classical view would sort of describe how this part of the brain is working. The constructive view of emotion thinks about it entirely differently, in that the entire brain is used as opposed to different parts of the brain, and that there's an idea of how the brain is gathering information. It takes information from the body, which would be called interoception, and it takes information from your past experiences and the experiences that you're having in the now, and it groups these things into ideas called concepts. And from these concepts, it makes predictions about what's going to happen. And it does it really, really rapidly.
Really?
I think the other thing that's substantially different is the idea of the body. I've been involved in social emotional learning for over 20 years, and we don't really talk about in the classical view, we don't talk about how the body plays a huge role in how we think about things, but it does. If we don't get enough sleep, if we don't eat properly, if we're not getting not enough exercise, if we're not get hydrated, on and on and on, all of those things, that information affects how the brain functions.
Mm-hmm. And how
brain's
we learn.
Function, how we learn. And the brain's
yeah.
function is to keep us alive. So it takes all that information and it uses it in its formation concepts of a lot of different things. And some of those concepts that it's using are emotion concepts. The other the last difference I would highlight is the difference between emotions themselves. In the classical view, we would say that if you were talking about an emotion like happy, for example, we would say that happy looks a certain way on someone's face. It feels a certain way inside your body, how you feel about that emotion. And there are specific times you should feel happy. The constructive view of emotion would think about this entirely differently and say that variation, again, is the norm. In that when you think about happy, you think about all the different kinds of happy that there might be. How you feel about at your birthday party might be very different than how you feel about going for coffee with a friend, or how you feel about, you know, playing a game. Those are all potentially happy experiences, but we don't all feel that exact same way in those experiences. Also, people can feel different feelings in a scenario where you would maybe think that someone should be happy. People go to weddings, and they also cry.
Yeah.
They're happy,
yes, they do.
And they cry at
yeah.
the same time. So the concepts of happy or any emotion are different for different people. It is cultural. It is experiential. And so these are fundamental differences in how we think about how the brain works. And so it also then has an impact on social emotional learning and how we should teach
sure.
these things.
Sure. And that's actually the question. Okay. And by the way, that was great. Thank you, Annalisa. Okay. There's a good overview of it. All right. We can all have now a PhD in neuroscience. Thank you,
there you go.
Okay. But I tell you a cute story. My friend is a professor, my oldest friend is a professor of neuroscience at Columbia. And he always says when school starts, so to speak, and they get freshmen in there and they have a 1600 page textbook, Neuroscience 101. And he says, I tell the kids this 1600 pages all about neuroscience and the brain. We know absolutely nothing. We know about 1% of what we need to know. Okay, so don't think you're going to get a little bit, even if you memorize the book, you're not going to know that much. Okay, so it's really an interesting science, and we are learning more and more and more about it every day. There's a lot to learn there, I got to tell you. So knowing all that, I'll swing back to Melissa. You wrote the book, again, it's called The Social Emotional Classroom, A New Way to Nurture Students and Understand the Brain. All right. How do we apply this? What are you looking to do? Because you're not talking about social emotional teaching. You're talking about social emotionally based classroom, if I'm reading your title correctly. So, Melissa, how do you want this to work when teachers, and they will, read your book, okay, and administrators read your book? What do you want them to do? What's the practicality of the book, if I may, Melissa Reagan?
Thanks, Larry. Well, there were really three goals for writing this book. Number one was to give folks a basic understanding of social-emotional learning. Number two was to give them tools to be able to implement it in their classroom.
Exactly.
So we have a lot of lesson plans. There are graphic organizers. There are Socratic seminar novel studies. We really wanted to make sure that teachers had everything they need to be able to use it right away. And the third piece, and I think this is really important, is we also wanted to give administrators or the SEL coordinator or the counselors, the people who are overseeing this, the tools they needed to be able to coach teachers. Because we know this is a learning process for all of us. And if the teachers aren't bought in, then they're not going to really work their best to deliver the content to the students. So supporting them, giving them the knowledge, and giving them the tools were really, really important.
It really is. And so now I'll swing back to Annalisa. Annalisa, do you want education professionals to see social-emotional learning as I'll say it this way, and you know what I mean, as a separate thing from what they're doing, from what they're actually teaching academically? Or do you want social-emotional learning to be part and parcel, okay, of what they're doing every day? And I don't care if you're a 12th grade physics teacher or a second grade reading teacher. Okay, where does the SEL fit in? Because we have it as a category, it's kind of siloed. And my own personal feeling is that ain't the way to do it, but I may be wrong. Tell me, Annalisa, you do this one.
Well, I mean, we do that in education, right? We silo everything. We silo English from social studies or history from science and mathematics. But all of those things.
Yeah,
William,
I got to tell you, my standing joke on that is that nobody thinks about Dickens for 45 minutes, then goes in and thinks about how deep is the universe for 45 minutes, then stops that and thinks about doing push-ups for 45 minutes. Nobody does that. Okay? Yeah, that's the way
right.
We teach people. We silo it all. The brain doesn't silo stuff. You may now continue. I just had to say that. It's my usual rant.
I agree with you. I mean, we don't live that way. We don't think that way, but we teach that way. And
yeah,
so social-emotional learning, I would say then, is kind of a both, I guess. You know, I think we need to teach specific lessons about specific skills, and then we need to give kids lots of practice. And so the practice part is where you're going to be using that in every other subject matter that you're teaching, you know, but kids need to have something specific. So if you're going to talk about how to problem solve, you know, teach the problem solving strategy in a specific time frame, class, whatever you want to call it, and then give them lots of chances to practice throughout the day, which of course, then they're doing other things. So they're going to their English class, they're going to their math class, and there's problem solving happening everywhere there. So it's a both answer, unfortunately. You got to do the specific skills in a specific time, and then all the practice is throughout the whole day.
Melissa, do we need a – I don't think there's even a major – I was just thinking about this. Colleges, do we have a major in social-emotional education anywhere? You know?
Yeah.
Melissa?
I don't believe that there is. The last time I checked, there was only one school in the United States that even made social-emotional learning a requirement for teachers, and that was actually New Jersey. Now, it's been probably about 2 years since I've taken a look.
And Annalisa moved from New Jersey to Phoenix. Right?
You got to check it everywhere, Larry.
How could you do that to the Garden State? Right?
you, we got to get it a little farther away from, it can't just stay in New Jersey. It's got to go everywhere.
Well, you know, the treat in New Jersey is going to the beach, and you move to a place where there's nothing but beach. So I'm impressed.
There you go.
It's all sand. Only kidding, Arizona. Only kidding. Anyway, go ahead. All right.
I'm surprised it's not mandatory. If you think about it, everything you do in your classroom involves some sort of social skills, right? If you're having kids work in groups, that's collaboration. That's part of social-emotional learning. If you're helping kids resolve conflicts, if you're helping them to use self-control, if you're helping them to communicate, reading, writing, having debates, discussions, it's all connected. And social-emotional learning is the foundation, but we don't teach people how to do it.
It's just astounding to me. And so, all right, all that said, okay, Annalisa, you said on your podcast, I'll say it again, Social Emotional Us, U.S., okay, you said that you interview a lot of authors, which I think is great, okay, and the more podcasts, the merrier, the more information out there, the merrier, okay, I'll intone a little Passover prayer here from here. You know, we say, hey, why is this night different from all other nights? And so I'm going to ask this question, how was this book that you wrote different from all other books?
I think that the difference is that it tries to explain the science and then it brings in the practical. Oftentimes a book will do only one of those two things. It'll be just practical or it'll be all sciencey. And there's no connection between those two things. And what is been made really clear to me over the experience I've had of over 20 years of working in this field is that what seems a connection in terms of the science to practical to me doesn't necessarily translate to other people. So sometimes you have to make that connection for people. You can't just assume that they're going to read one thing and understand how to actually do it in the real world. So I think that's where the big difference is for me. It's the practical married to the science.
That's excellent. And Melissa, let me ask you, how you talk to teachers all the time. You're chief learning officer at Navigate 360. Okay. What's teachers' attitude, or maybe I'll say educators' attitude? I know administrators want this in their schools because they're concerned about, well, the kids, all right? But what's a teacher's attitude these days towards SEL? What's your sense of it, maybe anecdotally?
Well, I can tell you, we did a survey of teachers at the beginning of the school year, and I found overwhelmingly teachers support social-emotional learning. Their concern is, where does it fit in, and making sure that they have the resources. I can tell you, I was in Texas training a group of teachers last week, and they were the most ambitious, interested, open teachers I've ever worked with. I was so impressed with what they were trying to do. And you know, they want to do it. They just need the resources. And
they
even,
understand.
You know,
great.
Yeah, I've been in trainings where, you know, not the stereotype, but, you know, the math or the science teachers are sitting there with their arms crossed and they're like, what is this? This has nothing to do with me. Touchy-feely emotions.
But it does. It does.
Yeah.
It does have something. If they want their kids to learn. And, you know, that's a very good point. Okay, and you just said, and by the way, I was a social studies teacher, and looking back, I probably would have acted the same way. Okay, so I don't mean to condemn anybody or anything like that, but we call ourselves teachers. But if the kids aren't learning, you're not teaching. Okay, it doesn't have to do with you teaching; it has to do with them learning. Okay, and if social emotional education makes it easier for kids to learn, then it is very important no matter what subject you teach. Okay? End of discussion. It impacts learning. How was that, Annalisa? Was that good?
Great.
100%. There you go. 100%. There you go. Okay? You can say that to them when they start to look annoyed. Say, look, your job is to have kids learn. It's not for you to teach. It's for them to learn. Okay? It's that simple. And this is going to make that better. And if they don't get that, maybe they do need to leave. You know, it's that simple. That important.
I,
There you go.
I think if I can just jump in for 1 second, it kind of goes back to teachers feeling comfortable with these concepts and how to do it. You know, a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. Number one, they're not too sure, yeah, and they're not necessarily all that comfortable with their own sharing your emotions and explaining how they problem solve and doing all these sorts of things. So, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes the reluctance is not necessarily that they disagree with it, but they don't feel comfortable with it in themselves to talk about it as well. So it's a kind of a difficult situation for some teachers to talk about. You know, they just don't have the background.
They don't, but they need to, because, again, I'll say it again, it impacts the learning of the students, and that's your job. Your job isn't to teach. Your job is for them to learn. Okay?
Yes.
It's that simple. I always use the example, my math teacher in high school, he would give us a test. We were all going to college. He would give us a test on Friday. He was such a lousy teacher. We'd all get a 40 in the calculus. He'd mark it on the curve, so we'd all get 80s, and he'd move on to the next chapter. And nobody understood chapter one, and he was already talking about chapter two. Okay? And it was, he called himself a teacher, but nobody was learning. Okay? And it,
right.
That's wrong. That's wrong. All right? And here's another, the last question I'm going to ask. I'll ask Melissa. Melissa, SEL right now is a happy-go-lucky buzzword. Now, it's been around a long time, but right now it's the key buzzword. Okay? Is that good or bad? Melissa.
Well, that's a good question, Larry.
Thanks, pal.
On what state you're standing in. In some areas, it's considered a bad word. It's been unfairly affiliated with some other topics that are more...
political for some stupid reason. Yeah.
But, you know, if we think about Bloom's taxonomy, like, you cannot learn until you've got your basic social needs met. It's like, you know, I don't know about you, but if I'm hungry, don't even try to talk to me. Like, it's not going to turn out well. And so it's the same thing.
You're in Maine, go kill a moose. You're in Maine, you're hungry, you kill a moose. Strangle a lobster.
Forage for bears or something.
Yeah.
But you can't do it. Like, you honestly, you can't do it. And we're asking kids to go sit in a classroom and learn algebra or learn, you know, about foreign nations when they can't talk to their peers. They're depressed.
Yeah.
They're thinking about suicide. And it's even worse for kids who are LGBTQ or who are maybe non-binary. It's harder for those kids. And we do a disservice when we make it political, and we don't let teachers do their jobs. They've been doing this for 30 years. It wasn't social emotional learning. It might have been called, you know, social skills, play skills, play learning.
Yeah, life skills, whatever.
Yes.
But it's serious now. We're really serious now. Okay? And it really matters, I think, now more than ever. So I think it's beyond. Your next book can be called Beyond Buzzword. Okay? That's simple.
You know, I like it. I'm
real.
That.
Like, write it down. I don't even want a royalty. Just do it. Use it. It's fine. Okay. SEL, beyond buzzword. Okay. And maybe we'll make it into a TV series. You never know. You never know. Okay. Ladies, thank you. This was great. And again, Annalise, I really want to thank you for getting up so early. I appreciate that.
Happy to do it, Larry. Happy to do it. Thanks for having us.
And at 6 a.m. At 6 a.m., answering the tough questions when Melissa passed them to you, okay? She was not taking your social emotional needs, like that cup of coffee in front of you, into consideration. So we have to talk to her about that. That's all there is to it.
I'll have a serious discussion after this.
Seriously, I mean, 6 a.m., come on, you know.
6 a.m.
Yeah, it's easy. By the way, I wanted to ask you something, Annalisa, just before we go. I noticed your email, it says pathsprogram.com. What is that? Pathsprogram.com.
So, So PazProgram.com, Paz is my company, and we sell SEL programs for children through preschool right to grade 12. The Paz curriculum itself is written by some other authors, and it's a very, very well-known program. It's the most well-researched available on the market today. And then our Emoji program for middle and high school. Actually, Melissa helped work on it with me when we developed the Emoji program for middle school. And we have a great high school program as of this fall. So we're pretty proud of those programs as well.
Thank you for explaining that. I didn't know what it was. Okay, that's good to know. Okay, and Melissa, let's end off with tell everybody about Navigate 360.
Absolutely. We just launched the Whole Child. It's a solution that looks at meeting the needs of the whole child, social, emotionally, physically. You know that we also have some behavior threat assessment products, software, training, suicide awareness. We're really trying to ensure that schools have everything they need to make sure that their children are safe and that their teachers are able to teach and have the resources they need for that.
They really do. And you guys are going to do great with this book. Again, everybody, it's linked on here, but it's The Social Emotional Classroom, A New Way to Nurture Students and Understand the Brain. Okay? It's all about SEL, and it's beyond a buzzword these days. Ladies, you're terrific. Okay, finish the coffee and go shoot the moose, Melissa, and have fun in the Grand Canyon today, Annalise. How was that? Is that good? Good way to end.
100%. Right. Thanks so much, Larry.
Yeah, Maine to Arizona. There's a connection somewhere. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Larry. Bye.
Bye. Bye. That was just great, everybody. Wow. Two terrific ladies, okay? Melissa Reagan, who's the Chief Learning Officer of Navigate 360, Navigate360.com, and Annalisa Mackey, okay? And the book is called The Social Emotional Classroom. And this is the key part, a new way to nurture students and understand the brain. There you have it. Okay. We have SELtoday.org. Go over there, check out what we do. It's all about equity, and everything we do is about equity over at ACE-ED.org. Everything's linked over there. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Have a good day.